This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7. Slow Hand. New Orleans only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. Well, hopefully you're ready for Tropical Storm Barry. As we get ready for this one here in the area. In the city of New Orleans, what I thought was interesting is that no sandbags have been issued here in the city of New Orleans for Tropical Storm Barry. Usually, when there's a storm on the horizon, you can show up at one of the fire stations here in the city and go grab sandbags and such. But not this time around. I don't know if our mayor, LaTuita Cantrell, our history-making mayor, I don't know if this is her doing or if this is just confidence. Them thinking that in the city, at least, we won't need them. Or they just didn't do it.
Well, we'll find out what the confidence factor is after, maybe by Monday or Tuesday. Isn't it normally you go here in the city, and I don't live in Orleans Parish, but they're issued to the fire stations, and then they're available there. Is that right?
Yeah. You go to the fire stations. There's other places usually you can get them.
No, I lived on the North Shore. There was, in Covington, my short time in Covington, the place we would go get them was a barn. And they actually had prisoners. They actually had prisoners that would load the bags for you.
Cool.
And it was a very, what would you say? You were warned all the way through. I mean, it's almost like a ride at Disney World. You're keep your hands inside the vehicle. They're like, don't get out of your vehicle. Don't help the inmates load the sandbags into your vehicle. They're there to do a job, and it's like Cool Hand Luke. They're
sure.
Shaking it off here, boss. Yeah, shaking it off, Dragline.
Yeah, because I'm such a big fan of prison movies, yes. I know how to act when I'm around prisoners.
That's a little scary.
Whether it's on the outside or on the inside. But I was a little bit surprised. No sandbags issued for the city of New Orleans ahead of Tropical Storm Barry. I remember the last storm. Walking down the street, I saw this very attractive woman. I said, she was carrying them. I said, look at that woman. Look at the sandbags.
Were saddlebags, maybe.
But not this storm. So we'll see. I don't know. When I saw the press conference yesterday with our history-making mayor, confidence isn't the first word that would go through my mind.
Right.
When I'm watching her and she's got the new police chief. And the big fuzzy mustached fire chief behind her.
Is she back from the Hawaiian Islands?
Yeah, she got back.
Okay, good.
She got back for this.
Because that satellite time would be a fortune if she was doing it from there.
Yeah, she spent time at a climate change meeting in Hawaii with her family. And she even said it was a climate change meeting / family vacation.
I was going to say, did her family learn anything about climate change that they could help with?
They didn't help climate change by flying a jet. From New Orleans to Hawaii, and all of those, a bunch of mayors went to that, and there were at least that we know of 30 mayors, so at least 30 different jets flying through the air to go try to combat climate change out in Hawaii.
But carbon anyways. Footprint.
So everything we're looking at now, they're really concerned, obviously, with Grand Isle. I know Plaquemines Parish is concerned, but as I sit here in downtown New Orleans, there's a little light mist. The wind is blowing, but we're not expecting landfall until Saturday morning, sometime. Again, you can keep your eye on it, and everybody is showing you the cone of uncertainty.
Well, just if it does, I mean, obviously we don't wish it upon any other community. All the forecasters will say that on radio and TV. But should it go in the western track, we still have the possibility there for some tropical storm force winds and a good amount of rain being on that backside. In that, that's how I was learned at the 1, 2, 3, 4. If you count the quadrants and you're on that two side, just be ready for that. I'm not a big speculator. I don't like speculating on anything.
No.
Kevin Spacey, I've already speculated, is not going to prison, and that's an end of it. I don't like speculating beyond that. And that's more gut feeling than anything.
Well, if Kevin Spacey's victim's mother didn't mess with his cell phone... her son's cell phone after the Kevin Spacey grabbed her son by the junk in that bar in Nantucket, we would have a different story.
You never mentioned all that in your wager, though. You didn't throw in all those caveats. Too late.
I didn't know what was going to happen there. So, look, you know, you live around here. You don't need us to tell you what to do. Lord knows you know what to do. So,
yeah, if you're counting on us, you're probably... probably not a good idea.
Yeah, we all get the same amount of updates. And would you say it's fair? And look, I know the local news, they really get you fired up for the tropical storms, the big storms. It's their job, and they always have to. They have to err on the side of caution. It's better for them to be safe than sorry. But you know, the local news, they really get you going. But you know who gets you going even more? The Weather Channel. The Weather Channel. They're saying, and I've noticed the difference over the last day or so in coverage of Tropical Storm Barry.
Can I just say,
between the local news and the Weather Channel? The Weather Channel's really, they're blowing their horns.
Let me just say one thing before you continue with that. If you're on social media right now and you're listening, you're on social media and you're about ready to post a meme about Jim Cantore and the fact that he may or may not be here, and that's clever. It's not clever anymore. Everybody's done it. So you can put that away.
Yeah.
Jim Cantore, that's not clever. Oh, my God. Oh, Jim Cantore's here. Mm. But anyway, you were saying about the Weather Channel. They love this. I mean, love is not the right word, but this is it's one of the things that they have in their, you know, in this building we have, in files we have... God forbid, disaster plans. We have worst-case scenario plans. We have what happens for tropical storm this or hurricane that. And the Weather Channel, that's just, they take that to the nth degree. And I saw one graphic that showed, I think, 12 people that are specifically, whether they're on air, all on air or not, I don't know, but they're specifically given the task of, I don't know if they're all coming here or
reporting
coming to the area.
Reporting on Tropical Storm Barry for the Weather Channel.
Right.
I saw that too, all those faces.
And I'm sure you'll have one person whose job it is just to stand there at the Weather Channel in Atlanta and let us know what's going on here from there.
And I stuck my head in the supermarket yesterday, and again...
Well, you're lucky to be alive. Frankly,
well,
from what I've heard
here in the city, I mean, after what happened the day before with the flooding and the Rouses in the CBD did not open on Wednesday until 1 o'clock. But they were open all day yesterday. And most of the shelves still had some stuff on it. I know the milk and the bread was just about and certain canned vegetables.
Well,
we're just about out of stock.
I've seen pictures of various Walmarts, whether it's in Harahan or on Jefferson or on Veterans, and the shelves are as if the store just opened and had not been stocked yet. So, yeah, milk, bread, water, very many canned goods just aren't going to be found at many, many places.
Yeah, after the last couple of storms, and I've told the story on the radio, I stocked up with bread, and then the storm came and went, and then I had about 8 loaves of bread, and I was fortunate enough just to walk outside where I live in New Orleans, and I saw a couple of people running down the street. My God, I have no bread, and I was able to hook them up with some extra bread that I had. Again, better to be safe than sorry. So, hey, be careful. You know what to do, and just pay attention. I just found it interesting how no sandbags issued for the city of New Orleans. ahead of Tropical Storm Barry. And does Barry sound like a very threatening name? Do you know any Barrys? If you do, could they beat you up or could you beat them up?
No, but I'm tired of the Barry memes already, whether it be Barry Obama, Barry Manilow, Barry White, Barry Williams of the Brady Bunch. I've pretty much had it up to here.
Which face is your favorite?
Ass deep in Barrys at this point.
I think Manilow might be my favorite Barry face that's on top of the cone of uncertainty. I think Manilow might be.
Right.
Makes me think of that song, Mandy.
See, I'm a Photoshop expert, and I have been for more than 20 years. And the level of clever for me to say, okay, that's pretty good. That's clever. It's a tough bar to reach.
All right.
I'm a tough room.
Obviously that's a big focus of our show this morning, but there are other things going on in the world. Coming up, boy, it just doesn't end for the women's soccer team. Someone broke into one of the soccer players' hotel room and stole the key to the city that she just got. What we'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. If you pay attention to the news, perhaps you saw that starting on Sunday, ICE deportation raids are set to begin in a handful of American cities, and one of them is New Orleans. I know New York City is on the list, and I know Los Angeles and San Francisco are on the list. And what's interesting, and New Orleans is on the list, and what's interesting is the mayors of those cities, and I'm not sure if LaTuita Cantrell said the same thing or not. I think she did. But the mayors aren't happy about this because the mayors in those cities, they're sanctuary cities. They want as many illegal immigrants living here as possible. And they're telling people, if the feds, if ICE comes knocking on your door, if they don't have a warrant, you don't have to open the door. That's what they're telling the illegals to do. Don't open the door unless they have a warrant. Isn't that something? Could you imagine our mayor or mayors of any, or authorities telling us, legal American citizens, not to open the door if federal authorities are knocking on our door? Could you imagine that? Well, anyways, and what's interesting about the ICE deportation raids this Sunday, of course, here, that's going to be a day after Tropical Storm Barry.
Well, let me add just a footnote to that, because the president has already approved an emergency declaration ahead of what is now Tropical Storm Barry. And there is a release here from the Department of Homeland Security that basically states ICE and Customs and Border Protection concerned about portions of Louisiana coast. Our highest priority remains the preservation of life and safety. In consideration of these circumstances, there will be no immigration enforcement initiatives associated with evacuations or sheltering related to the storm, except in the event of a serious public safety threat.
Oh, so maybe the illegals in New Orleans, they'll wait a little longer than they will in the other cities. Anyways, ICE deportation raids are set to begin Sunday, and illegal aliens are not happy. They say President Trump is un-American. And we already told you that many illegal aliens are so mad.
How mad are they?
At President Trump that they're threatening to leave, to go back to Mexico.
Go to hell.
Other places. Go figure. All right. Coming up on the show, R. Kelly got arrested again. This guy, he's finished. We have more details on this coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Oklahoma man arrested in stolen car with uranium, whiskey, and rattlesnake. And,
huh?
It sounds like a car party. And I'm looking at this guy's mugshot, and yes, he's got that look on his face. What do you want from me? Sure, I was driving a stolen car, and it had uranium, whiskey, and a rattlesnake in it. But Brewster,
I'm looking at the picture. You find him that cogent that he could even hear that?
He could hear
the question, and the answer would be, what do you want from me? I don't even see that.
Doesn't he look like someone we know, Brewster?
it looked like you the first time I glanced at it.
Oh, come on.
If you had...
Come on! Look at that, like me, this guy.
Yeah, okay, I got it. Won't mention, but yeah, I get it.
This is a routine traffic stop.
I get it.
In Guthrie, Oklahoma. Just a routine traffic stop. This is how these people get caught. It took an unusual turn when police discovered a canister of radioactive uranium, a bottle of whiskey, and a rattlesnake.
What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, and there was also a gun in the stolen vehicle. 41-year-old Stephen Jennings was just driving through a neighborhood.
Minding his own business.
When a Guthrie, Oklahoma police officer pulled him over for an expired tag. If you steal a car, are you going to be top of mind of the tag? You probably should be.
Oh, if I steal a car, am I going to be cognizant of whether or not the car is...
The tags are up to date.
Riding dirty, yeah. Shall we say? Yeah.
I'm thinking to myself, if I ever stole a car, one of the first things I would do is to make sure that my tags weren't expired. And if they were, I would try to go get it taken care of.
Yeah, thieves don't necessarily think in those terms like you or I. Well, like me.
Now, the other stuff, the uranium, well...
You got me there.
Yeah, that's a different story. There was a passenger in his car. And the officer spotted a timber rattlesnake in a terrarium on the back seat.
Fun.
And so that's what the cop sees. He sees these two driving down the road in Guthrie, Oklahoma. The car happened to have an expired tag on it. That's why he pulled them over. And then the treasure of what the cop found next was something else. So, although Stephen Jennings admitted that there was an unpermitted pistol in the car, that's one of the, you know, that's one of the things that's changed in our lives. Cops always used to just ask you for your driver's license and registration, and then they added proof of insurance, and now they ask, do you have any guns in the car? And Stephen Jennings admitted there was an unpermitted pistol in the center console. When the police officer searched the car, it turned up a bottle of Kentucky Deluxe whiskey and a fairly large canister of yellow powder. They later learned was radioactive uranium. Jennings and his passenger were arrested. Though I'm looking at the police report, the charges do not include anything related to the uranium or the snake. And they're getting them for the expired tags, the unlicensed gun that he had on him, and the bottle of whiskey. You can't be driving through Guthrie, Oklahoma with a bottle of whiskey. Evidently, it was open.
Look, in terms of federal law, international law, do you have any idea... When you're talking about crossing state lines, do you have any idea how much extra paperwork is involved in transporting a rattlesnake?
Boy, oh boy. Snake smuggler. Not only a snake smuggler, but, I mean, a uranium smuggler. So you don't think in his mugshot? He's got that look on his face. What do you want from me? Sure. What do you want? I got this uranium on
me. I've stopped thinking about this altogether, more or less.
You know, they always say there's no such thing as a routine traffic stop. And this one turned out to be anything but routine.
Right.
In Guthrie, Oklahoma. And this is something that this cop will probably never forget. Now, it doesn't say what if the Guthrie... Oklahoma Police Department has a uranium section or a department where it doesn't say yet what it's going to do with the rattlesnake either or the whiskey.
Right.
And we'll find out what happens to Stephen Jennings in the foreseeable future. But go see his mugshot and the story. It's one of those things that you look at and you're like, huh? What?
That's what I said.
It's on our website at Bayou957.com. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford, here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So, the New York Police Department went to Chicago and arrested R. Kelly. That's something. The singer, evidently, the New York cops saw the Chicago justice system's treatment of actor Jussie Smollett, how they just let him go, and maybe the New York cops said we're not gonna trust the Chicago cops on this one.
So they can do that?
Well, if they call it a federal crime.
Yeah.
R. Kelly was arrested by the New York Police Department in Chicago last night on federal sex crimes charges, and is expected to be brought to New York City to face the rap. He's 52 years old now, R. Kelly, the R&B singer. And look, we all know he got away with doing sex with underage girls a decade ago. He paid off the victim and her mother. And this is one of the things that they got him for last night, paying people to shut up. Bribery and things like that, on top of child pornography and, again, doing sex with underage girls. When that documentary came out about him several months ago and I was watching it.
You were the only one who apparently watched it.
I said there's no way he's going to survive this. And sure enough, after that documentary came and went, the cops went after him. He got arrested in May, and now he's arrested again. Again, he's a multimillionaire, was, can't read or write, probably the dumbest millionaire ever, and now it looks like he's going to be spending the rest of his life behind bars. Good. Coming up next, we look at today in history. We call the segment, Why Today Doesn't Suck. Suck is next on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. Every time I hear that song, I know the first thing a lot of people think of now is more cowbell. But now that's the second thing I think of, because I recently saw a movie called War Dogs. Very good movie. And there's a scene in the movie where they're in a senior citizen center. And all this, many senior citizens are in wheelchairs watching a live performance of a guy on the acoustic guitar playing that song, Don't Fear the Reaper. I thought it was pretty entertaining. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, Ann Lamarck Ford. It's about that time of our show where we look at today in history, and we call the segment,
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
July 12th. It was today in 1957.
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
President Eisenhower takes the very first presidential ride in a helicopter. Now we see the presidents take off from the lawn on the White House there in the helicopter all the time. But it was today. In 1957, President Dwight David Eisenhower becomes the first president to ride in the newest advance in aviation technology, the helicopter.
You've been in a helicopter, yes? I've never been in a helicopter.
I've been in a blimp.
Wow.
But I've never been in a helicopter.
See, I don't know how to describe this. I'm not afraid of heights, but heights, like, Oh, if you're listening, you're going to laugh, but it's hard for me to sit like in the 600s at the Superdome because I just get the jelly legs. I just have this feeling that I'm going to fall. And I'm not afraid of being up there. I have a balance disorder, so it's disorienting. I'm sorry, it's enough about me.
Well, you know, who was
How it? Did you go up in a blimp? It must have been football related? No.
No, it was a radio station promotion.
Hey.
I think it was the Blockbuster Video blimp. That's when they used to have Blockbuster Video.
And blimps, yeah.
And it was cool. It was when I was on the radio in Boston, took us right over Fenway Park. I went right over my apartment. It was really cool.
I was going to say, were you caller number 9?
But you know who's not afraid or wasn't afraid of a helicopter, Brewster? Dwight David Eisenhower.
Ike. Look at that, Ike.
That's who wasn't afraid. July 12th. Oh, today was a historic day because today was the day when Geraldine Ferraro was named vice presidential candidate for the Democratic ticket. She was from New York.
1984?
Why doesn't it have that right in front of me here? It should.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
But it was a pretty big deal. Here's a woman for the first time running for vice president of the United States. It didn't work out. It didn't work out too well. Ronald Reagan ended up winning that particular election.
I'm being told now that was, in fact, 1984.
Why today doesn't suck.
July 12th. It was today in 2000.
Why today doesn't suck.
A guy with three names made news.
William Jennings Bryan.
No, I mean three different first and last names. Yusuf Islam, born Stephen Giorgio, and he also was known by the name Cat Stevens.
Yes.
How about that? Some guys have a tough time making one name for themselves, and this guy, he had three.
I like Cat Stevens. I mean, you can say, well, he's... say whatever you want, associated with his adopted name. But musically, I think he's a very talented guy.
Well,
big hit maker in the 70s.
He made news today in the year 2000 by denying that he has, in the past, supported the militant Islamic group Hamas.
Right.
A lot of people were burning his records. That didn't... Pretty wild world when all of that stuff was happening.
I see what you did there.
July 12th. It was today in 2000.
Why today doesn't suck.
While Yusuf Islam was denying all of that crap, a statue honoring John Lennon is unveiled in London. The sculpture is of a handgun with a knotted barrel.
Hmm. Okay.
Statue over there in London of John Lennon today in the year 2000.
Okay. I didn't see that when I was over there. I was not aware that such a thing had been... Does it say where in London? I'm just curious.
It doesn't. It just says in London. You didn't see a sculpture of John Lennon with a handgun and a knotted barrel?
No.
Huh.
I mean, I get the point to... I mean, it's an anti-gun
Give
thing.
Give peace a chance.
I guess, but okay. I'm sure they're around London. You know, one of the things we saw in London was the house 34 Montague Place or Montague Square, and it is the famous house. Ringo actually owned it up until 1969. This is in the Marylebone area near Marylebone Station, where they filmed the opening scene of Hard Day's Night, they being the Beatles, of course. But during the course of Ringo owning 34 Montague Square, John and Yoko lived there. Paul would come over and write with John at times. Then at one point, Jimi Hendrix lived there. There's a picture of Jimi Hendrix making some eggs on the stove. That took place at 34 Montague Square, and we got our pictures outside there as we went on this little Beatles walking tour. And there's a famous picture of John and Yoko being arrested right there at 34 Montague Square.
And if... Correct me if I'm wrong, the inside of it is still set up the way Jimi Hendrix had it set up when he moved out, from what I understand.
Possibly. Could be. July 12th, I wish you a happy National Pecan Pie Day. Boy, I love pecan pie, and I'll tell you who does. This is not a shameless plug. Yes, it is. I'll tell you who does my favorite pecan pie around, and that is Dickie Brennan's Steakhouse. They do the best pecan pie, and I'll tell you why. What they refer to as their steakhouse pecan pie, it's not overly sweet. The filling inside under the layer of toasted pecans there, sometimes most places will make that as sweet as they possibly can. Theirs, they back off the sweetness a little bit, and it's just perfect with a cup of espresso after a fine steak at Dickie Brennan's.
I have two things to say there.
Yes.
A, everything Dickie Brennan's does is top of the line, and Dickie himself. B, I'm glad you said pecan. And not pecan.
Yeah, I said pecan day before yesterday as a joke in relation to a story regarding pee, as it were.
Well, because when I'm drinking...
Normally, I don't say that.
When I'm drinking a lot of beer, I might be looking for a pecan, but when you're talking about the nuts, I'm a
pecan. You done? Are you done?
Go ahead.
July 12th. It is also a day which celebrates... Let's see. You don't have this. I don't have this. But this is the day that celebrates those who have hetero... Chromia, more specifically, heterochromia iridum. David Bowie had heterochromia iridum, or iridis. Two different colored eyes.
Oh, wow.
David Bowie had one blue eye and one either brown eye or green eye. It's very rare. There was an actor who played somebody on The Young and the Restless years ago, and he had two different colored eyes. A gene that just goes rogue. I can't think of the word. But I always found that if you look at videos of David Bowie, he has two different colored eyes. Very strange. Cats often have heterochromia iridum, irises.
Did you see Mattel just released a David Bowie as Ziggy Stardust Barbie doll?
Mattel?
And it's sold out. There's a David Bowie dressed as Ziggy Stardust. It's a Barbie doll now.
Yeah. What did you pay for it?
It
was on this day, July 12, 1992.
Why today doesn't suck.
Axl Rose arrested at New York City's JFK Airport.
Aye.
On riot charges dating back to a July 2nd, 1991 Guns N' Roses concert in St. Louis.
St. Louis incident.
How do you get arrested on riot charges? Is that like inciting a riot?
Yeah, the show just started. Someone was taking his picture. He stopped the show and he said, hey, he told the security three times, right, I don't want this guy in the front row taking my picture. They never did anything about it. He jumped into the crowd. He punched the guy and then the security pulled him out and he said, I'm not playing. He threw the microphone down. They stormed off and there was a riot after that. And it took him a couple of days and they found him in New York and they brought him back.
Well, on this date, July 12, 2007.
Why today doesn't suck.
Not related, but I'm going to make the big circuitous tie a bow on this and make it related. Rod Stewart made a commander of the Order of the British Empire, the OBE medal, given to all of the Beatles. And I think John and George gave theirs back. I know John did. That ceremony at Buckingham Palace was for Rod Stewart for his services to music. Now, how are those two related? One of my favorite lines in rock and roll is Rod Stewart wrote the line in Every Picture Tells a Story, got arrested for inciting a peaceful riot when all I wanted was a cup of tea. I love that line. It was on this day, July 12, 1969.
Why today doesn't suck.
In other Beatles news, they peaked at number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart with The Ballad of John and Yoko. Despite being banned by many radio stations in the United States, considered this was 50 years ago, 1969, that song contains the word, not once, not twice, but after every verse, or at the end of every chorus, containing the word Christ, as in, Christ, you know it ain't easy. It reached number one in the UK, however, the previous month, and was their last number one song in their home country. And here's one for you. This is highly ironic at this time. On this day, July 12th, 1962.
Why today doesn't suck.
1962, the Rolling Stones made their live debut at London's Marquee Club. How about that? On this date, what is that? That is 57 years ago. Wow. Wow. And I know the Stones are listening this morning, so... good morning, boys. Good on you.
They got into town last night, and as of right now, that show is still set for Sunday night. July 12th, it was today in 1980.
Why today doesn't suck.
Elizabeth Warren married Bruce Mann, or as her family called him, White Man.
Dilly Dilly! Dilly Dilly!
The Massachusetts senator running for president. A couple of celebrity birthdays for you. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday today to Cheech Marin. Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
He's going to be 90.
No, he's 73. Tommy Chong is a little bit older. Mm-hmm. And my God, these guys are lasting a long time, and they smoke piles of weed.
Yes.
And also, happy birthday tomorrow. We won't be here, but he's a big name. Actor Harrison Ford.
Mm-hmm.
His birthday is tomorrow. He will soon begin shooting his fifth Indiana Jones movie. Mm. In the original Raiders of the Lost Ark film, he battled Nazis searching for the Ark of the Covenant.
Uh-huh.
In this latest one, he's getting old because he's pitted against kids playing on his lawn.
Dilly Dilly!
Dilly Dilly!
And one last birthday.
Quickly!
Happy birthday to Christine McVie, the very talented keyboardist and singer from Fleetwood Mac.
Yes.
It's her birthday today as well.
Born on this date in 1943 and not a moment too soon. That's the segment that we call
Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Coming up, someone stole one of the United States women soccer players key to the city that she was just given. We'll explain. And I wonder what that key opens. Stay tuned for that coming up here on Bayou 95.7.
The city?
Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Yesterday on the show, we told you a great happy story about the Ohio couple. They got married last weekend. The 100-year-old man married his 102-year-old girlfriend.
Yes.
We told you about that, and we said they're going to renew the vows this coming weekend because they couldn't recall. But I read the interview, and he also said he's always had a thing for older women. That was pretty cool, too. Coming up next, one of the United States women's soccer players had a key to the city she was just given by a mayor, stolen. I'm going to try to find out what that opens. That's coming up here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford.
I'm not very good at math, but it is Christine McVie's birthday. Is she... Carrie, the see, not. I think she's 76. Is that possible? Well, she couldn't be 66, so it's got to be 76. Let me figure it out here.
She was married to the bass player John McMee for a little bit, and then they broke up. You know who she was doing?
She's 76.
You know who she was doing sex with for a little while in the 70s?
Everybody else in the band.
Well, and not just the band. Dennis Wilson.
Oh, really?
Of the Beach Boys.
Right.
One of the first places, well, he used to hang out at when Fleetwood Mac made their money, she bought a nice house in Los Angeles.
Mm.
Dennis Wilson was seen hanging around there.
And it sadly killed him.
No.
No, Alan, he went swimming. And
it's our day before Tropical Storm Barry show. And when I saw the press conference with our history-making mayor here in New Orleans yesterday, again, LaTweeta Cantrell, and she had the police chief next to her, and then the fuzzy mustached fire chief behind her, and all of the. I just seeing her at a press conference right before a storm.
You were aroused? What are you trying to say?
No, I'm trying to say the first word that went through my mind was not confidence.
Mm.
That's all I can say. So, and hopefully everything will be cool. So, the United States women's soccer team, the greatest women's soccer team on the planet. Again, they're still enjoying their victory. They had their ticker tape parade in New York City the other day, and now they're doing the talk shows, and they're all over the place. And I know that, there are a bunch of Americans that think they're great. And boy, what a bunch of great role models for little girls. And,
well,
then, and then there's a bunch of Americans that think that they're, especially their captain, there's three captains, but the biggest captain, Megan Rapinoe, that she's an ungrateful American. You know, and it's fine to not like the president, but you can't say bad things about your country, and when you're especially when you're representing that very country. And it was interesting in New York City when they had she was given a speech at the podium.
Well, hang on just one second. I mean, I disagree with that she has the right to. But you don't necessarily have the right to use bad judgment. I mean, is that the time and the place in the Canyon of Heroes after a ticker tape parade to get up there and bash the president and bash how much you hate everything about the country?
Of course it's not a time. Like when she said, "I'm not going to the bleeping White House." She could have just said, "No, I'm not going to the White House." But when she said bleeping White House, again, it's fine to not like the president. I wasn't a fan of the last president.
Well, look.
But you got to respect the country.
A large amount of the crowd that went there to see her were school bus loads of young girls from all over the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. Anywhere from 7, 8 years old up to early teens, I would imagine. And Megan Rapinoe used that experience, used that time in her life to drop as many F-bombs as she possibly could. And not only F-bombs, but MF-bombs. Right there in front of my 8-year-old. And I don't have an 8-year-old, but I would be upset if I did.
That wasn't cool. Much of the crowd that lined the Broadway, that lined the ticker tape parade, many of them were young girls. And people brought them, their parents brought them there to say, "Look at this, you're a young woman, look what you could accomplish. Look what these women did."
specifically to have their young daughters be a part of that moment. So whether on social media or 50 years from now, they can say, wow, I was there. And to me, that would always be tainted with the fact that there was a hero, but a foul-mouthed hero. And I to take that moment and make it not about 8-year-olds who worship you or look up to you or whatever you want to call that verb, but to take that opportunity not only to be vulgar and use words that those girls probably wouldn't hear from their teachers,
who are
older than Megan Rapinoe.
She shouldn't.
That's not the time to rip. I mean, it reminds me of a couple of years ago at Jazz Fest when Stevie Wonder was about 10 to 15 minutes late. That's fine. But then he came out and before he played a single note, he did about a 20-minute diatribe about how he hated everything about this president, though he didn't name him by name, but just everything that was wrong with this country. And I recognized two of the first 6 songs. It's just... no, he wasn't. You know, I wasn't the prototypical Stevie Wonder fan that he was there to perform for, well, but I certainly left with a bad taste in my mouth.
Well, Megan Rapinoe dropping the F-bomb so many times in front of all of those little girls in New York City, definitely not cool. And then did you see what happened with another one of the players? Allie Long is her name. I guess they went out to Los Angeles after they were in New York. They went out to Los Angeles.
Right.
And her hotel room was burglarized. And one of the things that was stolen out of her hotel room was the key to New York City that she was just given by the mayor, another nut, Bill de Blasio, of New York City. Gave her the key to New York City. And so she took the key to New York City with her to Los Angeles. And then when her hotel room got burglarized, they stole the key to New York City.
Right.
What that burglar in Los Angeles doesn't realize is that key to New York City is going to do him no good
right.
in Los Angeles. I mean, you got a key to New York. What are you doing running around Los Angeles
right.
with a key to New York City? That's not going to open anything there.
That's a very good question, although I would dare to venture that the proclamation and the gold leaf paper it's written on is probably... And the booklet, like you got at your graduation, whatever that booklet is called, I would imagine all of that has more monetary value than the damn key to begin with, which doesn't really open anything.
Allie Long of the United States women's soccer team was staying at the Ritz-Carlton in Los Angeles.
Ooh.
Her room was burglarized on Wednesday night.
She don't have posh, do she?
Besides the key to New York City, they stole some cash and her wedding ring. That stinks. And they haven't identified any suspects yet. You know, when I think of someone getting a key to a city, it always reminds me of what Vince Neil of Motley Crue once said. No, he said this in the book The Dirt, which became the funny movie.
Right.
They were in some Midwestern town. It might have been Columbus, Ohio, or some medium town like that in the Midwest.
Right.
They were playing a concert. And the mayor had them out to say, we welcome Motley Crue and we're giving them the key to the city. And Vince Neil saying, my God, I wouldn't give this band the key to anything. What they did the night before with the drugs and the booze and the women. And he said, the only thing I'd give my band a key to is a jail cell.
Right. Yeah.
You know, but yet here's some Midwestern mayor giving my band Motley Crue the key to their city. Do they realize what we're going to do with these damn keys?
Right.
And trash the place. So, anyways. That happened to Allie Long.
You're going
to
follow this story.
Of the United States women's soccer team. And I will still always love Alex Morgan.
And I'm a what's the one I like? I don't remember. From yesterday. I forgot her name already.
I'm a big fan of Kelly O'Hare on that team, too. And I'm not even a soccer fan. I just I like those particular players.
But really, that language in front of little girls, that's just wrong.
Yeah, watch your bleeping mouth.
That's right.
Hey, coming up next on the show, we're going to tell you about the first female pastor at this church. She just, I don't think she's going to have this job, that job very long after what she just got caught doing. Stay tuned for that report here on Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. Amazon Alexa calls police on man who was beating his girlfriend. This is how technology can really, really help even more than it already does. A New Mexico man was arrested after police received a 911 call from an Amazon Alexa smart speaker. Police say that 28-year-old Eduardo Barros was house-sitting with his girlfriend when they started to argue. Barros reportedly pulled out a gun and threatened to kill the woman. At one point, he yelled at her, "Did you call the sheriffs?" Well, if there's an Alexa speaker around and you scream, "Did you call the sheriffs?" What do you think that the Alexa speaker heard?
Call the Alexa, sheriff. Call the sheriff's office.
And that's exactly what Alexa did. And the cops showed up at the house. Barros, the perp, he told his girlfriend he could not believe the cops had been called and he was not going back to prison and that she knew that he was a felon. The girlfriend stated that she thought she was going to be killed or shot. Authorities showed up and they were able to remove her and her daughter from the home. She did suffer minor injuries, but the young girl, the daughter, was unharmed. So when the cops showed up, she escaped with the daughter, but Barros remained inside. The deputies then called the SWAT team. I don't think they used Alexa to get the SWAT team in there. I think Alexa already did her job. And the SWAT team showed up, and they were able to get him out. It was an hours-long standoff. He was taken into custody, and they got him. But talk about technology, and, you know, they say somebody's always listening, somebody's always watching, whether it's in the microwave oven or or your latest sound system or your Amazon Alexa.
Your steam iron, what do they call that? The little pizza oven, not a microwave and not a real oven, but a
toaster oven.
Toaster oven, yeah. Your toaster oven is watching you. It hasn't happened with this new phone that I've had for several months now, but there would be times during the show where I would go look at my phone during a commercial and it's sitting there going searching, 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 and it's something you've said that's triggered. It's not Alexa, but it's Google, whatever Google's thing is.
Harry.
You've said something that's like, and it's thinking, waiting, searching, searching. And you said something that triggered it. So knock it off, will you?
All right, coming up next, we're going to have one of the greatest drummers in rock and roll history on our show.
Yes.
You're going to hear from him next.
Yes.
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. The John Osterlin Morning Show, brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans. And Lamarck Ford.
Would you like me to explain more of the excesses and the indulgences of 70s prog rock to you later today?
Just listening to Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, once the keyboard solo started, I said, that's why punk rock started. Right there is why punk rock started. And ELP there, the Royal Affair Tour, featuring members of Yes, Asia, John Lodge of the Moody Blues, Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy, featuring vocals by Arthur Brown.
I am the God of Hellfire!
Is scheduled to be here in New Orleans at the Sanger Theater on Monday night. Are we ready?
We are ready.
Joining us now on the Celebrity Hotline is one of the greatest rock and roll drummers of all time. It's Carl Palmer. Hi, Carl.
Well, I've always wanted to be on the Celebrity Hotline, and I finally made it. Yeah.
I read that when you auditioned for Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, you beat out the Jimi Hendrix Experience drummer Mitch Mitchell. I'm glad you got the gig, because ELP has a much better ring to it than ELM.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. I'm not too sure why Mitch Mitchell didn't get the job. I mean, a fantastic drummer. I mean, a good friend of mine at the time. I met Mitch when I was 15 years old, when I moved to London, down from Birmingham, which is approximately 130 miles away. He was the very first drummer I ever met, and we stayed sort of friendly. I'm not too sure what the deal was. All I can tell you is that Keith Emerson's manager at the time, Tony Stratton Smith, told Keith that the young gun in town that he should check out was Carl Palmer. And that was the call, and they called me down, and the rest, as we know, is history.
Carl Palmer, your name always comes up when people talk about the greatest drummers in rock and roll history. Who are a few of the drummers that you would, in your mind, think that are the greatest drummers?
Well, I've always been really influenced by the American drummers and many of the jazz drummers, people like Joe Morello, Elvin Jones, big influences on me. I mean, Sonny Payne I loved as a big band drummer. And then the technical drummers who had the great techniques, like Louis Belson, Buddy Rich. So really all of the guys that I aspired to or I wanted to be like were really all American. I mean, we have had some colossal players in this country. A chap called Kenny Clare, who's unfortunately not with us anymore. We had a similar sort of talents here, but America just had it in bundles. And all of my records, basically, that I enjoyed featured sort of American drummers, whether they be out-and-out avant-garde jazz like Elvin Jones or very strict kind of classical-sounding jazz like the Dave Brubeck Quartet, Joe Morello. Although there's big band drummers like Sonny Payne, Louis Belson, and that great technician, Buddy Rich. You know, these are all people which are embedded in my brain, you know, and they're still my favorites today.
You're going to be doing basically, you're calling it the Prague Rock Camp. It's like a rock and roll fantasy camp in November. What's going on? What exactly are you doing?
Okay, I'm actually calling it Carl Palmer's Prague Rock Camp. It's happening from November 8th through to the 10th. At the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia. We're going to limit the amount of spaces to 100. We're just over the halfway mark now. I want to keep it small. It's going to be something which will be it's totally educational. It's not about being a rock star or making money. It's teaching people and giving them as much information for the future so they can move forward as a musician or a composer or a producer, whatever they want. So I've got Paul Bietatovich from my band, Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy. He'll be teaching guitar. There'll be guitar workshops with him. There'll be Simon Fitzpatrick teaching the six-string bass and the Chapman stick. The Chapman stick being the 10-stringed instrument, which you can actually play synthesizer lines and you can play bass lines at the same time. So that's going to be an interesting combination, those two. And don't forget, Paul Bietatovich was one of the first guitar players to actually take all the Keith Emerson keyboard lines and get them to play on the guitar. That was a bit of a feat. So that's going to be interesting for a lot of people who want to play prog guitar. We've also got a good friend of mine, Derek Sherinian, who used to be the keyboard player in Dream Theater. I actually toured with Derek many years ago when it was Jeff O'Toole, Emerson, Lake & Palmer, and Dream Theater with a support. So Derek's going to be there. As you know, he's in Sons of Apollo right now. He's going to be there teaching prog rock keyboard. So that's going to be an interesting experiment there, and the private lessons as well, whatever people want. And then we have another good friend of mine, Ron Bumblefoot Thal. He's from Guns N' Roses, another great, great electric sort of player, guitar player, lead player. And we're going to have a concert in the evening, Carl Palmer's ELP Legacy. We're going to play a concert one of the evenings, possibly the Saturday. There's also going to be an ELP film, which has never been seen before. We've just discovered it, actually. And that's going to be shown one of the days. It's about an hour 20, hour 25 long. There's going to be various lectures on career moves and what goes on. I'm going to give masterclasses on the snare drum. We've got some, obviously, competitions between some young prog bands that have signed up collectively. There's going to be Q&As. And all in all, it's going to be a three-day event of something happening every day where you can alert, where you can learn and you can just move around the rooms and check it all out. And hopefully we're going to plan it in such a way where you can go to everything and you miss absolutely nothing. So the 2300 Arena in Philadelphia, I've been there a few times now, and it seems a perfect venue to do this. We're ready to go on it. I'm very, very excited because I haven't done anything with the educational side of music for many years now. The only stuff I've done over the last 3-4 years will be here in England. I've taught some deaf children and some blind children to play little hand drums. Those were large groups of 10-20 people at a time. with special needs. And that was exciting, but this really is passing on the knowledge and keeping the flag flying as far as prog rock is concerned. That's what the camp's all about.
Just go to Carl's website, carlpalmer.com. Hey, one last question for you. After Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, you joined one of the first quote-unquote supergroups when you became a part of Asia, and you had a bunch of commercial success. How did that all come about?
Well, it was all to do with radio, to tell you the truth. We realized as prog rock musicians, Steve Howe coming from Yes, John Wetton coming from King Crimson, myself from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, Jeff Downs was the only non-prog musician there because he was from the Buggles. They had that first video played on MTV, Video Killed the Radio Star. So basically, as prog rock musicians here in Europe, we realized that in America, we were not getting played on the radio anymore. And when the 80s started, radio became very corporate, and there was lots of sponsors involved. So DJs now couldn't choose what they wanted to play. They would only play what they were told to play, which was unfortunate, because in England, we considered American radio an art form, because you played anything you wanted to, any time of day, you played it. Well, in the 80s, that changed, and we realized that. So as four musicians in Asia, we thought, well, how do we get around that? We still want to be a bit proggy, but we're going to have to be a little bit more commercial as well. What can we do? And fortunately, we had that first album, which sold 7 million or whatever it sold, and was number one for 5-6 weeks, which had the kind of proggy sort of bits on it, like Wildest Dreams, Time Again, had that on it, but also The Only Time Will Tell and Heat of the Moment, which were the top 10 door opener sort of hits. So we managed to get in and get back and do what we wanted to do. But obviously, the 15, 10, 20-minute pieces of music were kind of long gone now. That really wasn't going to work in America. So we had to look at things realistically just to stay alive and to stay playing music that we really enjoy.
It's great hearing that story from you. That's some story. Carl Palmer, we got to run, but we look forward to the Carl Palmer Prog Rock Camp. And for information, go to carlpalmer.com. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you for the interview. Thanks very much indeed. Thank you.
I loved how he said the guys in England in the 80s thought American radio was an art form. And you listen to this show, for God's sake, Jesus.
Yeah, I would. It's a form of something.
All right. Coming up on the show, we're going to tell you how the very first woman to lead a famed church just lost her job. We'll tell you why next. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. So, the very first woman to lead one of New York City's most famous churches just lost her job. The Reverend Dr. Amy Butler, the first woman to lead Manhattan's famed Riverside Church, lost her gig. Why? Well, because she took two Riverside Church assistant ministers and a female congregant to a sex shop called the Smitten Kitten during a religious conference in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and they ended up buying a few hundred dollars worth of stuff at that sex shop, including a $200 bunny-shaped blue
toy.
Let's just say it vibrates.
A toy.
It's called the Beaded Rabbit. And she ended up buying that as a gift for one of the ministers who happens to be a single mom. And she bought more pleasure gadgets for the congregant and herself. And when this news broke at the church, the Reverend Dr. Amy Butler, the first woman ever to lead Manhattan's famed Riverside Church, lost her lofty post because people complained.
Might I ask why it's famed? I've never heard of this church.
No, not famed around here, but up there it's famed.
Okay. Let me try this again. Do we know why it's famed up there? It doesn't matter where. I could ask the question from the planet Neptune. Why is it famed in New York?
Well, it's the Riverside Church. Maybe because it's by the side
it's
of
the
river.
River.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Gotcha. Maybe that's why.
That takes care of that.
But you know.
Thank you, Dr. IQ.
Well, you know in the Catholic religion.
That's not Catholic. This is not Catholic.
Well,
this might be Episcopalian.
No,
this is not
right.
Catholic.
That's
this is not RC. It might be C of E. It is not RC.
That's why us Catholics are looking at this
with
one eyebrow up
right.
when we're scratching our heads over here. But it's a shame to see a woman's rise through her church like that to get to the top. It's a shame to see her lose her gig because she ended up shopping in a sex toy store, and she bought a few of those said sex toys for people in her church.
Can I ask a hypothetical question? This does not warrant nor bear, nor do I require, nor care for an answer. I just say this hypothetically.
What's that?
If Jesus were to walk this earth, would he be walking around snooping into people's windows to see what they're doing in their bedrooms? No. I'm going to go ahead and answer that. No.
Not the Jesus I know.
What is the puritanical obsession with what other people are doing in their bedrooms?
Isn't that something?
Hmm.
All right, coming up next. It's the dumbest things we read all week, and this is a pretty damn dumb week.
I'll say.
I don't think you're going to want to miss that. Stay tuned for that report coming up next. On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock. Rolling Stones there, and everything is still set. The show is set to go on Sunday night at the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, and they're keeping an eye on everything, and so are we, and we'll
let you know if anything changes.
Yeah, looking forward to that. The John Osterlin Morning Show is brought to you by the most ordinary man in New Orleans, and Lamarck Ford. And I just wanted to mention, if that show does happen Sunday night, join us. I know we're going to be hanging out at the Rolling Stones pre-concert party at the Vintage Rock Club right down the street, right around the corner from the Superdome. It's above Walk-Ons on Poydras. That's before the show. We're going to have a really good time. Hope to see you there. Well, it's Friday. It's right before 8:35. And this is where we tell you the dumbest things we read all week. And I've got a runner-up.
I've got a runner-up.
Let me do my runner-up first.
That means you go first.
Well, it doesn't have to. We flip the coin. I don't want to get too much inside baseball here, inside radio, but we did flip a coin. And
I'll produce the bleeping show. Thank you.
Here's my run-up for the runner-up for the dumbest thing I read all week. White supremacist lights himself on fire while trying to burn down a synagogue.
That's funny.
And it really is. I mean, I wish he killed himself. But he's still
That's even funnier.
But he's still alive.
You topped yourself.
But anytime a white supremacist tries to burn down a synagogue and lights himself on fire, not only is that dumb, it's hilarious. His name is Tristan Morgan. And there's video of this, and you'll be able to see it if you want.
Yes, for all your self-immolation needs, go to Bayou957.com.
This did happen in England. I'm glad you didn't run into him when you were over there last week, Brewster. But this dope tried to light a synagogue on fire because he didn't like Jewish people.
Right, and that's wrong.
Yeah, you know, and instead of calling this a white supremacist lighting himself on fire while he was trying to burn down a synagogue, why couldn't the news say some mentally ill man tried burning down a place of worship?
Right.
But no, I guess the other thing sells the other headline sells more copies.
Mm-hmm.
So this happened over in England, and where in Europe, by the way, that's where white supremacy started.
Right
in Europe, and it's pretty cool how the fire. I watched the video a few times, and I laughed. I just got a kick at it, Again, not only dumb, but funny as well.
Thank you.
I call that instant karma, Brewster. I call that instant karma.
I can't tell when you're done. Are you done?
Yes.
I wanted to thank you for this stellar lead-in for my story. This is like a comedy cavalcade. What's the word? Cavalcade. And the guy going on before me, like, dropped dead of a heart attack. And now, coming to the stage, put your hands together for him with his story. Here's Brewster.
I know I'm not the only one that thinks the white supremacist lighting himself on fire while he's trying to burn down a synagogue is funny.
Self-immolation, and I just, I don't know. All right, count to three. One, two, three. Georgia woman orders Disney-themed cake, gets marijuana-themed designed cake by mistake.
That's funny.
Now, really, if you're going to do that, now would you just go ahead and do yours then? Really? Seriously? Seriously, can I have this little slice of time? I'm going to start over. I'm going to drag this out as long as I can for that. Are you familiar with the Disney movie Moana?
No. But I'm familiar with marijuana.
Here, you read it. Here.
No, go ahead.
Now read it. Now read it. Read it, smart guy.
No, here, take it.
Jesus. What's the matter with you? And when I said, have you heard of the Disney movie Moana, I wasn't talking to you necessarily. I put the mic back here so I don't see you. Dateline Milledgeville, Georgia. A miscommunication resulted in an unusual birthday cake for a Milledgeville woman. Kinsley Davis is a huge fan of Disney's animated movie, Moana. Her mother ordered her a cake for her birthday celebration. They were surprised to see the cake delivered and decorated with a marijuana design. She says the cake came from Dairy Queen. Aren't they proud? She's ordered other cakes from the same location for more than 10 years and believes an employee made an honest mistake. Davis posted the picture of the cake on Facebook. It went viral with more than 11,000 shares. The mishap did not stop her from eating the cake. Here's more from a family friend.
I think they thought that she said marijuana because we're from South Georgia. We kind of have an accent, so Moana, marijuana. I guess when they said that I love cartoons, they were like, let's just throw a little pony on there. So they put the little pony on there, and it had red eyes smoking a joint with a tramp stamp of a pot leaf on its bottom. I was very shocked. I was like, it was hilarious to me. I was very impressed by the artistic capabilities of them to be able to do the design that they did.
None of this, they didn't ask for any of this. And if, in case you missed this, because she spoke rather quickly, it's a marijuana themed cake. They threw in of their own accord a picture of My Little Pony. My Little Pony has red eyes and a tramp stamp of a pot leaf on its back. You really get more than you paid for or asked for at that particular Dairy Queen. And I love Dairy Queen, by the way. The mother says she still plans on buying a birthday cake next year from there. It won't be Moana or marijuana. I just won't get a design at all. I'll just get a regular ice cream cake if I have to. Davis says the woman who made the cake apologized and offered to make her another one. She says the cake, however, was tasty. So, happy ending. And now...
Well, no, I'm just thinking about how much I love ice cream cakes. I love ice cream and I love cake. You put those two things together, motto to me.
My story's over. You get your own lead in. Go ahead. I don't have all day. Come on. Get with it. What's the matter with you? Let's go.
Here's the dumbest thing I read all week.
Storm's coming. I got to get out of here.
Woo. Driver arrested for using 30-pack of beer as a booster seat for his 2-year-old.
Now that's dumb.
It's funny they made it to where they were going. That's what's funny about it. The North Perth, Ontario, Canada. See, I thought in Canada, I thought this was fine. A driver in Canada was charged with failing to properly secure a child after Canadian police say he strapped the toddler to a 30-pack of beer case instead of a car seat. The 22-year-old driver, young father.
Candidate for Father of the Year.
Yeah, he got arrested this week. Police say that a 2-year-old child was also in the car, sitting on a 30-can case of beer. This brings me back to my youth, too, because I remember how many 30-packs we used to buy back in the day. The driver put the case on the passenger seat of his car, and he strapped the child to it. So at least he strapped the child to his idea of a car seat.
Right. He had a restraint and safety in his mind, but the problem is it's in his mind, not necessarily how it should go.
He's thinking, look, this is the closest thing I have in the car right now to a car seat.
Right.
I got this 30-pack of beer, and, propped up the kid well. You put the seatbelt on him. Where's that kid going? Where's he going? He's safe.
Reform school, I think, but go ahead.
What's interesting is the child's seat, a child's seat, was brought to the driver after the police took him in and the Canadian Family and Children's Services were notified of the incident.
I believe in white supremacy.
Their laws, I think, are similar to our laws when it comes to children in car seats.
They're just colder.
They require children under the age of 8 use a certified child car seat or booster seat. Now, some could argue a 30-pack of beer is a booster seat. It does boost the child up a couple of feet.
Well, look at the time.
Thank God no one was injured.
Don't forget the podcast of today's show later today when it will be my story and then your story.
Well,
in that order.
And if you only listen for a little while a day, you can hear our entire show via the podcast.
No, it's not the entire show. It'll be things like self-immolation edited out, things like that.
And go listen to our podcast on our website at Bayou957.com. Bayou 95.7, the classic rock of New Orleans. This was a funny story that I saw. There's thousands of people have taken a pledge on Facebook with this Facebook group to storm Area 51 because they want to, quote, see them aliens, unquote.
Okay.
Over 300,000 people have signed on to a Facebook event. That means probably 2,000 will go. Mm-hmm. Pledging to raid Area 51 in Nevada in a quest to, quote, see them aliens. The event titled Storm Area 51, They Can't Stop All of Us, is inviting users from around the world to join Naruto Run. That's a Japanese manga-inspired running style featuring arms outstretched backwards and heads forwards into the area. But I hope someone has, I'm sure thousands of people will video record that.
Yes.
Quote, we can move faster than their bullets, the event page says. And so some say that this is written in tongue-in-cheek. I think most people believe that, but there are other people that are on their way to Nevada right now.
And it is completely 100% accurate and true that this event is brought to you by, say it with me, Reynolds Wrap. Yes, that's right.
Coming up next, it's our commercial free ride. Hang out with us. It's the pre-Tropical Storm Barry John Osterlin Morning Show.
Woohoo!
On Bayou 95.7. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock. So the other day, a video went viral of a very short guy on Long Island, New York, in a bagel shop. Did you see that?
I didn't see it.
He walked in, and he's at the counter, and he was just very angry, and it became apparent very quickly that all of his anger is because he's only 5 feet tall. And there were a couple of women in there, and they chuckled at him. He said, what are you laughing at? You're not 5 feet tall? Even on websites, they laugh at me. On dating sites, they make fun of me. He lost it. Absolutely lost it. And one guy told him to calm down, and then he said, let's step outside. I'm not afraid of you. And the guy just tackled him inside the bagel shop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, once that video went viral, and to be honest with you, at first I kind of chuckled, but then I felt bad for the guy. I mean, he's 5 feet tall. And so much of his life's anger and frustration came out at that bagel counter at that moment. And now he's known as either the bagel guy or the angry bagel guy.
Right.
And that's what everybody's calling him. All you have to do is Google, and his picture will show up, and that's who he is now. That's who he is forever. Well, after this happened, I think that happened on Wednesday. Yesterday, of course, all the media, being right next to New York City, all the media rushed to Long Island to find him and interview him.
Because they had to fill the 24-hour news cycle.
And he said a couple of things. A, he said he lives in a van, even though he owns his own business. He lives in a van. If that didn't make you feel even worse for him, although it made me think at the same time, well, I mean, if you're going to live in your van, at least he's only 5 feet tall. He's got plenty of room in said van.
He's got more headroom, more leg room.
But then he said that ever since his video went viral, women that he doesn't even know are hitting on him. He says he's doing well for himself. His name's Chris Morgan. And he went into a bagel shop, and he just lost it. The name of the shop was Bagel Boss, and he had a meltdown in Bagel Boss. But what's interesting is the day after when he did the interview was with the media, he said that not only now is he meeting women because of his video going viral, that the bagel boss there on Long Island invited him in for a free bagel. And when the media went in to ask the bagel boss manager about that, they said, we never invited him in for, and we didn't offer him a freebie. So there's a couple of conflicting stories there.
Reach for comment. They said, no bagel, no bagel, no bagel, no bagel. Hey, that's hard to say.
Yeah, and you know, for a minute on Wednesday, I thought about posting this bagel on Bayou957.com because we have a page there that has a lot of entertaining videos and stories and things like that.
But somebody posted it before you could?
No. Oh. I just, you know, as someone who's, you know, over 6 feet tall, I just, you know.
What, you think you're better than him? You think you're better than him?
You can ask me to step outside the studio like this guy asked that guy to step outside the bagel boss?
You think you're better than him?
No, well, it would be nice if he found a woman because of this and a place to live as well. That'd be cool. So his name's Chris Morgan. And he's bagel boss, angry bagel guy. Just look him up if you don't know who he is.
While you were reading all that and spending time thinking about it and reading it and thinking about it, I was playing Red Dead Redemption 2 on PlayStation 4, and I had a blast.
Breaking news, we are hearing the Rolling Stones concert.
We're about to be handed something. This is, Kat just walked in. And I'm going to go ahead and read this. Good morning, everyone. The Rolling Stones concert has been postponed until Monday, July 15th. It will be at the same time. Doors open at 5:30. The show will start at 7:30. Of course, video recording not allowed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the same policies will be in effect. But again, the Rolling Stones concert has been postponed until Monday, July 15th, still at the Superdome, still at the same time. Doors 5:30, show at 7:30.
And does there you go. And does our Stones pre-concert party, is that on Monday as well? Vintage Rock Club?
We're a little too early to tell.
But you know what? We're still going to do a Rolling Stones weekend this weekend. Screw it.
Here on the radio station.
Right. Good work.
Okay, there you go.
We got to go.
Stay safe.
We got to go quicker.
From Bayou 95.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.